Thank you so much, Janine. Good morning, everyone. I'm so delighted to be here, and thank you for your interest and for coming to hear us speak this morning. As Janine mentioned, I work for Health Education Administration in the LA County Department of Public Health. And before starting, I want to note that I'm also here on behalf of my colleagues, Jackie Valenzuela and Julia Heinzerling. So Health Education Administration is the central health education unit of the LA County Department of Public Health. So we're responsible for standardizing health education practice across the department, as well as some other department-wide initiatives such as worksite wellness. And in our county's public health response to H1N1, staff from the Health Education Administration were amongst those who were deployed to staff the communications branch of our ICS, of our incident command structure. And that communications branch is what I'd like to discuss with you for the next few minutes. Okay, so my hope is that by the end of our very brief time together, you'll be able to describe the organizational context of ICS and the communications branch. You'll be able to discuss the skills, programmatic capacities, and collaborative efforts that enabled communications branch staff to meet their goals. And finally, list two lessons learned from communications branch deployment. So I'd like to start with a quick snapshot of Los Angeles County and how the Department of Public Health fits in. LA County has the largest population of any county in the nation. It's home to about 10 million residents. We speak over 100 languages, 12 threshold languages, and we cover over 4,000 square miles. So needless to say, we're huge, we're diverse, and we're often difficult to navigate. And the Department of Public Health is one of 50 departments. You can see it circled in red, and you can see that we fall under Health and Mental Health Services, ultimately reporting to the Board of Supervisors. So if you open up that Public Health Department box, this is what you'd find. Our Department of Public Health is made up of over 40 programs. We have about 4,000 employees, and we're housed in around 75 different work sites throughout the county. Health Education Administration, the program where I'm from, circled in red, you can see falls under the Office of the Medical Director and Quality Assurance. Okay, so if we take a look at our department's H1N1 response, all of us remember the initial threat in the spring of 09, happy anniversary. From a health education or health communications standpoint, it was a challenge for us to keep up with an evolving situation while at the same time communicating effectively with the public. You know, as a department, we were working really hard to find a balance between transparency and panic minimization. So Los Angeles County declared a state of emergency in order to mobilize our financial and human resources, and the Department of Public Health activated our incident command structure in order to make sure that we had an effective response. And of course, working within the incident command structure made it easier for us to mobilize resources because all of the key players were in one room together, but it also did highlight some gaps in staffing and staff capacity at the same time. So what we saw is that the need for a communications section became clear pretty quickly as the public information officer needed additional support to handle community inquiries. Okay, so here's a visual of that ICS. Initially, this was in a physical room, the Department Operations Center, and was dismantled at the end of May and early June. And then after that, everyone was on call virtually for about a month until H1N1 came to the forefront again. So we were out of that initial ICS structure, but we were starting to get ready for mass vaccinations. Now we're in July through early October. And what happened while we were out of that official ICS structure, our initial flu response was winding down. We were no longer needing to test all ILI cases. Vaccine production was starting, and our focus really was on getting ready for our mass vaccination clinics, also called pods or points of dispensing. So 7 work groups were convened to figure out the details of that planning process, and communications was one of those work groups. So after a summer full of planning with those work groups, the formal ICS structure was reactivated, but this time it was modified to include components of those 7 planning groups. Our departmental operations centers were activated. As a communications branch, we had our own departmental operations center that was adjacent to the primary one so that we could easily and quickly report to section chiefs. Our COOP plans across the department were activated, our continuity of operations plans. So this meant that each of the 40-plus programs within the Department of Public Health needed to say, look, this is exactly how we're going to maintain our essential services, while at the same time freeing up staff for deployment within the structure. We were alternately praised and reprimanded from stakeholders across the county. You know, there were some hiccups at first. Those priority groups that we can all name in our sleep. We caught some flack from seniors. You know, we also had a hard time reaching minority populations. But on the other hand, as a department, we did hold over 100 distinct points of dispensing in collaboration with 38 cities across the county, offering over 200,000 vaccinations. So here's that ICS structure round two. Okay, it looks just the same as the previous one, except if you open up that operations box, you'll see that there's now a distinct communications branch within operations. So what were our main responsibilities within that branch? Three big ones: health education materials, inquiry management, and clinical messaging. And I'll discuss each of these in a little bit more detail, but first I'd like to highlight the diverse group of folks who came to the communications branch. The 8 to 10 primary staff did come from health education administration, but other folks in the branch came from elsewhere throughout the department. They were available to us from a variety of programs, including acute communicable disease and immunization. And that in and of itself was a feat, sometimes took some political and bureaucratic wrangling. As I said earlier, over 70 locations in our department and 40 different programs. And at any one time, we had a minimum of two folks in our communications doc. At max, we probably had about eight, and we did staff that 7 days a week. Okay. So let's take a closer look at those three responsibilities that I mentioned. At the top of this branch, at the top of the communications branch, you see our director, and then there are those three primary responsibilities, each of them managed by a senior staff person from Health Education Administration. So on the left, you have health education materials. This was everything from printing and adapting VIS forms, creating and printing signage for the pods, creating educational flyers for schools, drafting speaking points for elected officials, and radio PSAs. So materials went all the way from development and approval in our branch to production, dissemination, and storage. So we were creating the initial content, submitting it for subject matter approval, sometimes testing them if we were able to, posting them on the website, figuring out how to print them, figuring out how to distribute the hard copies, and of course store them, and working with budgets for printing, translation, and whatnot. Our second primary chunk was inquiry management, and there are two primary duties here, 211 and Speakers Bureau. So 211 is LA County's information line. I think it's similar to New York's 311. So our primary role there was to train the 211 operators to be able to direct folks to the appropriate resources, whether they needed help finding a pod or whether they had just some basic questions about H1N1. So we created in-person trainings for the 211 operators. We also developed a suite of, I think, what ended up being 6 or 8 volumes of speaking points for them, probably more than they wanted. And we sent them a steady stream of our educational materials and, of course, updated them constantly on our ever-evolving pod schedule. Speakers Bureau is a program that already exists within the LA County Department of Public Health. And this is a mechanism by which community groups can request presentations on a variety of topics. And so it's actually managed out of Health Education Administration, and we train folks from throughout the department to be presenters for Speakers Bureau so that they're on call and ready when a community presentation is requested. So within the H1N1 context, we developed several H1N1 presentations for different audiences. Normally in Speakers Bureau, we're just targeting general community groups, but during H1N1 deployment, we came up with special presentations for physicians and other executive level groups as well. Also, I would mention with 211, for a good chunk of our time from October to December, the communications branch was also responsible for triaging calls that came in and determining whether or not they needed to go to our PIO, if they were media, or whether they needed to go to 211, and sometimes just answering questions there at our doc. Okay, and finally, we have clinical messaging. This is just what it sounds like, keeping the clinical community abreast of changes and updates. We developed a template for guidances and advisories, drafted content, again, got it approved by the appropriate subject matter experts, posted them on the website, in some cases, mailed them via hard copy. So one example of this was when GBS became reportable. Okay, so in that situation, we worked with our acute communicable disease folks to let the physicians know. CAHAN, or the California Health Alert Network, is just the mechanism by which these and other electronic resources are distributed. And then finally, we were working on establishing relationships with other organizations, such as physician organizations, throughout the county. Okay, so in order to get all of this work done, we needed to not just use our existing capacities, but also build new infrastructure. First off, we really needed to identify and tap into those subject matter experts throughout the department. We were lucky enough to have folks from immunization and acute communicable disease, service experts, and their managers were generous enough to let some of them be deployed to our communications branch. We also had to lean on existing resources and networks. Our Office of External Relations and Communications already had well-established relationships with schools and with media outlets, so we were able to capitalize on those. Our Office of Organizational Development and Training had media site capabilities, so that was a great way to conduct online training of speakers for Speakers Bureau presentation. And also, immunization program helped to connect us with partners who had similar agendas so that we could avoid duplication of effort. And this is a big one. We had to make sure to apply health education principles, right? This meant not losing sight of theory. It meant maintaining cultural and linguistic competency. It meant making sure that plain language standards were met. That was a challenge. And of course, adhering to basic risk communication principles. So what you see here on this slide is one example of the print materials that we created. This was a community update. I think we had 3 or 4 volumes of this that went out in English, Spanish, Korean, and Mandarin. And of course, we did look to the CDC and to the state for ideas and content. Even though we did create a lot from scratch in-house, they were often based on CDC and California messaging. So we were also able to cultivate new infrastructure. So what does this mean? Well, we improved capacity to efficiently communicate. This sounds like a no-brainer, but it actually wasn't that easy. We finally managed to come up with weekly teleconferences with our operations chief, things as simple as making sure that everyone in the communication branch and our subject matter experts had access to telephone and internet wherever they were. Development and approval of branded print materials. This was painful at first because at first we said, well, okay, we need a 2-week time frame. That's what we need to create something really good that adheres to all of our health education principles. We have time to have the subject matter experts take a look at it. We have time to tweak it. You know, that wasn't reality. It was a luxury to have 24 hours to create something, and sometimes we had 2 or 4. So we had to come up with shortcuts. And, well, number one, of course, was identifying exactly who we needed to talk to in which situation as far as subject matter expertise in order to push the materials out quickly. We also invested a lot of energy at the front end in developing templates for our print materials. So that way we minimized duplication of effort and also were able to create a consistent brand. Fulfilling speaking requests. You know, Speakers Bureau is normally run by one person out of Health Education Administration, and this person was in our communications branch too. We quickly realized that with all the different trainings that needed to happen to get DPH staff up to speed and ready to present, as well as all the different curricula that needed to be developed, and this crazy flood of requests coming in, we needed more than one person. So we were lucky enough to be able to deploy some folks in the logistics branch of ICS to help with assigning speakers, and then our lead within the communications branch was able to focus on curriculum development and training. Dissemination of information to key partners. We relied on a consolidated electronic list from throughout the department. We were able to create a listserv in pretty short order so we could hit as many people as possible with one shot. We also developed mechanisms for translation and translation review. This was a challenge because, you know, even though we're LA County and we speak 100 languages with 12 threshold languages, the Department of Public Health doesn't have an official translation protocol. Shocking, I know. So what we had to do was very quickly find out which of our external contractors were doing the best job at our translations. We were also able to look at our bilingual bonus list. So we got in touch with our human resources office, found out which folks were getting paid a little extra every month for being bilingual, and then tapped them to either back translate the contractor product or do their own translation in a pinch. Also, mechanisms for training internal and external staff to discuss H1N1. As I mentioned, for Speakers Bureau, we were able to conduct some online and phone training. Okay. So ICS was dismantled at the end of the year, but I do want to highlight a couple of ongoing activities. This graphic on the left is the homepage for our 211 LA County line. And we are continuing to provide guidance. On the right, you'll see graphics that are volumes 1 and 2, I think, of our speaking points for 211 operators. We're continuing to maintain open lines of communication with them and intend to partner with them throughout the upcoming flu season. One other ongoing effort that I'd like to highlight, we have a tailored campaign going on right now that is specifically looking at improving vaccination rates in the African American population. And the way we're doing that is by working with contracted community agencies. So we've developed a suite of materials, posters, flyers, PowerPoint presentations, and our community agencies are distributing them. And this, of course, came out of some political fallout that occurred when stakeholders learned of our less than ideal numbers in terms of how many minorities, particularly African Americans, were vaccinated during our campaign. You know, African Americans make up 9% of LA County population, but only 3% of the vaccinations that were administered during H1N1 deployment. So, and this was a learning process for us throughout deployment and throughout this continuing campaign. One example is that when there were all those vaccine safety issues in the beginning, safety issues and concerns in the beginning, well, we were like, okay, well, all we have to do is say, hey, this vaccine is made in exactly the same way as the seasonal flu vaccine. It's just as safe. Guess what? Certain populations, that's not going to cut it. There's other stuff going on, deep-seated historical issues that need to be addressed in different ways. So another reason we're very, very excited about this campaign is because we believe that it's helping us to lay tracks for longer-term relationships with these organizations and hopefully a sea change in knowledge, attitudes, and beliefs, behaviors. Okay, so our primary challenges. If you remember our organizational chart, it's very easy to see that not functioning in silos for our department is a serious challenge just because of how we're structured. It was certainly tempting to stay within our comfort zones, even during ICS, but working on a shared goal forced us and helped us to eliminate some barriers. Unfamiliar job duties and skill sets. You know, a lot of what we ended up doing in the communications branch was administrative, working with budgets, working with purchasing, working with contractors. As folks coming from a health education background, we were starting at ground zero. So that was a serious challenge. And the flip side of it, some folks who were deployed to our communications branch weren't necessarily schooled in health communications. So it was a challenge for them to develop materials that met these readability standards, that were aesthetically pleasing, that complied with CDC's Simply Put guidelines. Lack of redundancy. You know, even though backup is built in, even at the highest echelons of ICS, we did see that fade a little bit. At the communications branch, you know, we were working from October to December, 7 days a week, cheek by jowl at this circular table with our laptops. We were just tired. Everyone had their fair share of duties, whether at the Departmental Operations Center or at the pods. It was also a challenge, and I've alluded to this already, but it was really a challenge to keep up with the evolving messages and priorities. The priority groups, vaccine supply, even where we were conducting the mass vaccination sites, always changing, constantly. So this created the need to constantly update the messages, make sure everyone had the most recent messages. And this wasn't just to external folks and external stakeholders and communities. This was also within our own department. You know, in our department of 4,000 people, not everyone was deployed at the Departmental Operations Center or at a pod, and we found it that it was essential that we inform our own staff of what was going on. So as part of that, we developed a staff update that went out, I think, a couple times a month. And then finally, of course, all of this was happening at a breakneck pace. We all know that. But that leads me into our triumphs. You know, I'm so proud that we created a suite of print, web, audio materials, many of them in our 12 threshold languages. We did end up becoming a well-oiled machine, and we were able to create these things in short order without, I think, compromising our health education principles. Another big one, new collaborations and relationships within the department, you know, sort of cutting paths between those boxes on the organizational chart, and now making sure that those paths keep getting used. Existing relationships with community partners were strengthened. And finally, our staff were challenged to learn new skills. You know, something as simple as how do I find out whether or not this printing vendor is on the county approved list? Or how do I expedite getting a purchase order number? Who do I have to pay? No, just kidding. Executing and managing contracts. So all of these are now skills that our communications staff can have in their back pockets for next time, even though I know there isn't a next time. Okay, so the bottom lines, health education principles must stay at the forefront of message development, despite tight timelines, despite diverse stakeholder interests. And finally, new infrastructure can be created in large bureaucratic systems by mobilizing in non-traditional ways. Very briefly, I want to acknowledge several of my colleagues from Health Education Administration and from the Communications Branch. And thank you so much for your attention.